Thank you, Rob. This last week, Rick and Rob have turned 45 years old. I remember the day well, and what a joy to see them serving the Lord together and see their children as well interested in the Lord. I want to thank again each one that has prayed for this meeting. It's where our hope is of a spiritual blessing is through the power of prayer and God working. As an introduction, I would like to go back to Ruth chapter 1 and just pull one thing out especially. Very much appreciated Dan's message this morning. But you know, this is an amazing book. I see myself and my greater Boaz, the one who is so great, he can meet the deepest need. What a thrill to look at that as we go through this chapter. In Ruth chapter 1, we have Ruth, of course, the story how Naomi, Elimelech, his two sons went. They died, they married there, and then Naomi decided to come back and try to convince her daughter-in-laws to go back as well. But Ruth didn't. When you came to the Lord, did you come like this? Let me point it out to you. Ruth said, I'm not leaving you, no matter what. Nor am I going back where I came from. Where you go, I'm going to go. Where you stay, I'm going to stay. Your people are going to be my people. Your God, my God. I will die where you die, and there will I be buried. Only death can part us. When we came to the Lord, did we realize our need, our deep, deep need for a Savior? Did we come like that? I think that's one thing I want to point out is how Ruth came. She came with her whole life, her whole heart, and her whole everything. And amazing what God did with a person like that. They came there at the time of the Passover, which is mentioned this morning. So it was barley harvest, and I wonder if I'd have time to, I wish I could read this chapter. Maybe I will just take it a verse at a time. We're going to likely run out of time if I don't. But in this chapter, we have introduced in this story a Savior, a life giver, a preserver of life, one who is near to their hearts. And one who is a mighty man, which means powerful or a champ. He was a notable man, a man of wealth, and a man of their own family. All of these are needed when Ruth cries out for help or comes for help. And again, all of these are a picture of the greater Boaz. And as we come to him, all these are needed for us as well. So we read in verse 1, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. What an introduction to this chapter. It doesn't start off with Ruth. It starts off with a Savior, one who can help, one who can lift out of despair and hopelessness. And then the next verse goes to Ruth. And it says that, "And Ruth the Moabite said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter." Ruth knew what she could do. She knew she was in much need, and she knew it was a thing she could do is go and glean in the fields. They needed food. And so Naomi supported her in this and told her to go ahead. And I think here we see another thing in Ruth's life when she said that I may, in whose sight I may find grace. Ruth was a Moabitess, and they had left their mark, especially with Balaam. Balaam caused that nation to fall under the judgment of God. And there was sentiment there against that nation, I'm sure. And Ruth just simply said, I'm going to trust the Lord and go out and see who will have mercy on me and let me glean in their fields. Going and doing that took humility. When the people looked, were on the streets, in the cities, and they saw this woman gleaning, they knew she was poor. Poor people did that. That was strictly left for the poor. And I would like to look at a few of those scriptures in the Old Testament that bring this out. And bring out, it makes me realize my need for the greater Boaz. The first one is found out in Leviticus 19, verse 9 to 10. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus 19, verse 9 to 10, where this commandment was given by the Lord to Moses to tell the children of Israel. Leviticus 19, 9 to 10. And when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest. And thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and stranger. I am the Lord your God. Ruth was poor. They came with nothing. Naomi said, I left full, I came back empty. And she was a stranger. She fitted this picture. There's more added to this in Leviticus 23. We won't read it there again. It mentions this, that it's for the poor and the stranger. But in Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 21, we have this as well. And it's interesting what's said here. And it says, Deuteronomy 24, 21, when thou gatherest the grapes of thy vineyard, thou shalt not glean it afterward. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt. Therefore I command thee to do this thing. Here it adds the fatherless and widow. Ruth was poor. She was a stranger. She was a widow. She was just as low as she could get. And the children of Israel were told they're to do this. And when they see a person gleaning, they're to remember they were in that spot at one time. Bondage, bound to Pharaoh, king of Egypt. But here we have Ruth. And again, all brothers and sisters, that's what we are. We're poor. We have nothing to bring to the Lord. We're completely bankrupt. We're a stranger. We were his enemies. And so we come to the Lord. And we were of a different family, not of the Lord's family. So we come, like Ruth, to our Redeemer, Boaz. And then I'd like to mention one more thing here, that gleaning. You know, that's an important thing we need to do as Christians. What fields are you gleaning in? Where are you gathering your food, your knowledge, your desires? Are you gleaning in the fields of the world or selfishness? Or are you coming to the fields of God and gleaning? Are you looking through his word? Are you pulling out of his word things that you can use and that'll be a blessing to you? Ruth chose to go and glean where the Lord was, the fields of Boaz. And I think of gleaning, I think of there's a number of different ways to study the Bible. Your Christian life will not flourish until you get into the Word, until you take time and say, Lord, I'm going to take your Word in hand. Enlighten mine eyes. Help me to understand it. And help me to learn of you. And as you do that, there's different ways to do that. A lot of the problem the church is so fragmented today is because they do not have a whole knowledge of the Bible. Many of the things that people believe here and there and that are different is they go to one passage. The Bible says this here, but they don't see it in the light of God's whole plan and of the whole Word of God. And so it's important to read the Bible a lot. Just read it. But if that's all we do, we're going to miss it. We need as well to study it and to spend time in it. There's different ways to study it. One is reading God's Word a whole lot. We need to get a whole picture of it. But then to study it, really think, what is it saying? Who is it talking to? And why is it saying what it's saying? When is it being said? And where? All these things affect what it means and what it's saying. And you can study it that way, verse by verse. You can study it as a topic. And you can study it by character, taking one character from Genesis through to his end, or by doctrine, certain doctrines, or by books. All of these ways are different ways to glean in the fields of God. And we need them all. And you know what? You won't get them all done in your lifetime. Unless you start, you'll only get so far. There's so much there and so much to dig up and learn that it takes a lifetime. And so I challenge you with that. Where are you gleaning? I wonder where we often glean. But we should be gleaning like Ruth. That's one thing we can do, is in the fields, in God's word, taking from it what we can. So Ruth is in the field. She's gleaning and all morning. And as she is there gleaning, you know, God does not guide a life that isn't moving. Or one, like one person said, you can't steer a car that doesn't move. Ruth here knew she could do that, and she did it. God started guiding her, and he came into her life. And for us, if we just sit there and do nothing spiritually, we'll get nowhere. But if we know we can do something, I can study God's word, I can pray, I can, whatever opportunities God gives, as you start moving, God guides you, and you go forward with your life, your spiritual life. So she's gleaning, and lo and behold, in verse 4 and 5, she comes to the reapers, to Boaz's field, and asks to glean, and they allow him to. And then Boaz is mentioned here. But then in verse 4, and behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? So Boaz comes along. He sees Ruth gleaning. You know, that's another lesson for us. If God sees we, like Ruth, have come wholeheartedly, and that we're doing what we can in coming to him and being obedient to him, God sees that. He will come to that person, and he'll start working. And so here we have, it's interesting too what Boaz says. He says to the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answer, the Lord bless thee. I have many times witnessed to people. I was scared. I didn't want to. But some of the most remarkable surprises and stories come out if you open your mouth. And I couldn't help but think this, of this verse here, how they said, Boaz said, the Lord be with you, reapers. God promised that if we open our mouth for him and go into the world and teach the gospel, preach the gospel, and teach all things he has commanded us to, he'd be with us. He would bless us. And I have seen that over and over in life. The most exciting thing you can do is stick your head out for God. You might get a bang, but he's there, and he'll heal it. And many times, amazing things come out of it. But here we have Boaz taking note of Ruth, and he asks the servant who she is. And in verse 6, the servant identifies her as the stranger of Moab. And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is a Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And so she is introduced to Boaz, and he says, she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Ruth threw her whole heart into what she could do. She did not, she was not lazy. She took every advantage she could. She worked early in the morning, and only a little rest till noon. And there she was saying, she poured out her whole heart. I was thinking of Colossians, in Colossians where it says, whatsoever you do, do it with your whole heart as unto the Lord. And this is Ruth. What a picture she is, and what a challenge to us as well. And then this moved Boaz. In verse 8, we have Boaz's response to that. He's moved by that. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, he goes and introduces himself to Ruth here. And he said to Ruth, hearest thou not my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have not I charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Boaz moves out to meet Ruth and gives her an invitation to glean only in his field and to abide there with them. And he promised her security and protection. And then he opens tells her, if you get thirsty, go and drink of my water. Again, we have a beautiful picture here. If the Lord sees we are sincere, our hearts are true, he'll make himself known to you. And he will give you the invitation to come to him and to find all you need in him. And it reminds me of, we just came through Colossians, how it says we are complete in him. Or Boaz is really saying, all you need I have. Come and make yourself at home and take what you need. I'll give you the field for food. I give you water, my own water from my well. I give you protection. And when we come to the Lord, oh, his promises that he would be with us. He'll guide us. He'll strengthen us. Paul said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. And that's what the Lord promises to those who will believe and receive his invitation. Ruth had to make a decision here. She could have gone to another field and thought, I wonder if this guy is coming on to me a little hard. I wonder if I should run. At this time, she didn't know Boaz was a kinsman redeemer. But she trusted him. And she took up his invitation. And just like that, we have to trust God's promises and depend on him and take up his invitation. And then after this happened, it's so beautiful from here on how this relationship grows. Boaz introduced himself and told her, I'm all you need. You're welcome to accept. She responds in verse 10. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself and to the ground and said, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? This moved Ruth greatly. It moved her heart, and that he would care about her, a Moabitish widow, poor, and nothing to offer him. And why would she find grace in his eyes. You care about me, and I'm a stranger. And I came to your land and people. Anyway, she falls before her face. And again, do we really understand when we come to the Lord how unworthy we are? I'm a stranger. I don't deserve to be here. And every time we remember the Lord, I feel it. Is this really true? Are God's word that he says he accepts me as his son, is it really true? When our lives are so imperfect, when we would get into his presence, we'd be like the prophet Isaiah. Oh, I don't belong here. I am a man of unclean lips and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. We would feel how unworthy we are. And yet the greater Boaz reached out to her, and she acknowledges it with gratitude and with astonishment. And then that draws out another response from Boaz in verse 11. And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath been fully shewed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father, thy mother, and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Boaz is moved here, and he shares with Ruth what really touches his heart about what she has done, her attitude to Boaz, and what was precious to him about her. And he says here to her, the kindness that you've showed to your mother-in-law and his people. You left father and mother and came to the a land, you left the land that you were born in, and you're coming to a people you didn't know before. The Lord give you a full blessing under whose wings you came to trust. You know, again, the Lord takes notice of our lives. And I couldn't help but think when he says about the kindness to his mother-in-law, a person who is kind toward God's people and favorable toward God's people and loves them and helps them, the Lord takes notice of that. And again, we have to leave our old life, our old nature, our old life, the land we were born in, as it were. We have to come out of that and come to the Lord Jesus Christ, the greater Boaz. And as we come there, to trust in him to carry us through life. Viola and I just lately watched a debate between Christopher Hutchins or whatever his name, and it was very interesting. You know, I think as Christians, I made this mistake myself. There was a time as I was growing up, my friends went to university, college, which we didn't go, and that's fine. But they came with all of these hard arguments that these brilliant professors throw at you. And it took me for a while to realize, you're not going to prove to me there is a God. That might be shocking to you, but Hebrews tells us that. And we have to accept that. We can't see God. It says in Hebrews, he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And here, I think that's what Boaz was saying here to Ruth. She came trusting in him, that he was there and be there for him. We're here. Something that the atheists nor anybody else has answered by saying, bang, here's the answer, is we're here. How did we get here? You have a will, and you're going to choose by the evidences you see and by what you read in God's word or by what you hear in signs who you're going to attribute that to. I personally, more and more, attribute with any doubt, believe there's a God. I cannot see it any other way. Because you take the Bible, it is the only thing I have found that explains everything how it is today. That it explains how man and woman were made, how animals were made, and how the world and about right and wrong, knowledge of good and evil, and just on and on. Each one of these things, the big bang, might make pieces fly. But then there's a question. How did this happen? And when that is maybe a theory brought up, it leaves another question. Well, then, if that happened that way, how did this happen? There isn't any answers. They're only found in God's word. It says everything like it is, and it gives you a reason for it. It's God. So by faith, we trust in the God. We believe he is. We choose to do that. And we depend on him. And you know what? He comes into your life. And he will answer prayer. He will fill your heart with joy. And it just, as we see with Ruth here, I'd better keep going. Boaz shares with Ruth here what he really appreciates about her and gives her a blessing in verse 12 that may she find all the blessings God has for her, under whose wings she has come to trust. That's where our trust has to be, under a living God, by our will and our faith in him. Then in verse 13, Ruth again speaks here. She responds again and says, then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaids. Here, Ruth responds to Boaz's kindness and thanks him for his kindness. Or that word, let me find favor in thy sight, the idea of that word is, how is it that you've seen something beautiful in me? How can that be? And she's moved by that and comforted by that. And that he has spoken friendly words to her. And then here we have her humility again. You know what, Boaz? I'm not like one of your handmaids. I wish I was. But your handmaids are way beyond me. And humility is such an important thing in life. It is something that we have to be taught over and over and over again. When things go good, we start getting proud, self-confident. And the Lord has to put a sticky thread across our lives so that we're stuck and we again realize we need Him. We can't live this life alone. We need His wisdom. We need His guidance. And how much humility she showed here. And there's a verse in 1 Peter 4, verse 6 and 7, where it says, "Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and in due time He will lift you up." Oh, the hard lesson in life, the way up is down. The more we go down, the more we let God direct and take control, the more He lifts us up in due time. Humility, we see it so beautiful in this dear widow lady that was poor, that was a stranger, and that was in a strange land. Boaz responds to that. He is moved by her appreciation again, and thanking him for that. So Boaz starts to pile it on now. This is interesting. It goes faster and faster. So Boaz says unto Ruth in verse 14, "And Boaz said unto her, At mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left." Boaz now invites her to his table. She's getting closer. "Come, eat of my food." She comes. She sits down. And in front of them all, I don't know how the food looked or what, whether Boaz went like this with both his hands and clunk on her plate, it was way more than she could eat. She ate all she could. She couldn't finish it. And oh, brothers and sisters, as the Lord invites us, as we get to know Him more and get closer to Him, and He invites us to sit with Him and dine with Him, He gives us more than we can handle. We just bump our heads against the wall and say, "But God, how can you be so big? How is that possible? I don't understand that. My mind can't take that in." It's just more and more He gives, and we leave with more than we could take in. And then Boaz isn't done yet. And he, in 15, he adds another thing. "And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded the young men, saying, Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not." Here Boaz is really opening the whole field up to her. "You go and do what you want. Guys, leave it up to her, but don't you stop her. I'm opening up the field to Ruth, and she can go where she wants to and take what she wants to." And then he goes further, and in verse 16, Boaz says, "And let fall also some of the hands full of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them, and rebuke her not." So he told the young men, I'm not sure how harvest went there. It was done by hand. And we were in India. We were in the fields of rice, and the harvesters came. The ladies came first and cut the crop down, and then after them came the men. And I presume this is kind of a picture like that, that Ruth was there, the ladies would crop cut the crop down, and then the men would come and gather it and carry it away to beat it or whatever. And here they were commanded, if she goes in front of them, let her. Let her fill her hands. And by the way, behind you, take a sheaf and drop it. And it's amazing what Boaz all gave her here. I hope I can find it on my notes here. I wrote it all down. My notes. Anyway, Boaz has given her so much. I can't find it right now. It's a whole line. Oh, here we are. First of all, Boaz gave her a place to glean. Then security, protection, water, all that she wanted for her thirst. Kind, comforting words. The Lord's blessing now invites her to her table and gives her more than she can eat. And then he adds here, open up the field to her and let's drop some of the stuff. And here I couldn't help but think again of the greater Boaz. As we get to know him more, the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 4 to the lady at the well, I've got water that if you drink it, you'll never thirst. And in the feast in Jerusalem, he said, whosoever comes to me and drinketh of me is like a well of water overflowing. And then for the bread, he said in John chapter 6, verse 35, I am the true bread of heaven. If someone comes and eats of me, he will never hunger. What a picture again of the greater Boaz and we as sinners coming into his presence, enjoying him to the full. Anyway, Ruth did pretty good. And she beats out what she has. And it, according to the measurements that they know, she probably gathered 2/3 of a bushel of barley. That's a lot. When you start thrashing by hand, that's probably a 40-pound bag of barley. And she loads it up. She goes back into the city. And she comes to Naomi in verse 19. And her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today, and where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she shewed her as mother-in-law and with whom she had wrought, and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. Naomi, when she saw what her daughter-in-law came with, knew right away, this isn't ordinary. This is supernatural. Somebody showed grace to her and helped her. And she was really amazed, and they both ate of it and had more than they needed. Ruth, the stuff that she had gleaned, she took, and she was able to share it with others. And you know, that's another lesson for us as we get into God's word. What a joy to share about the greater Boaz and about God's word. It's more than we can eat. We can share it and give it to others as well. And at this point, Naomi's mind starts to go into gear. And she realizes, man, if Boaz gave this much attention to Ruth, he cares about us. There's a chance here to reach out to him for all we need. He's our kinsman redeemer. And so she tells Ruth, make sure you stay close to his fields and with his reapers. And Ruth did that. She took advice. As her relationship with Boaz grew, she took advice. And as we as believers, our relationship with the Lord grows, we need to have our ears open to listen to others and learn with them as well. And then it says again about Ruth's tremendous, she was not lazy. She was very diligent. It was paying off. She stuck with it to the end of wheat harvest. And that's the Feast of Pentecost. It was right the time, the Feast of Pentecost. From the Passover to the Feast of Pentecost, she stayed in those fields and she gleaned. And oh boy, Boaz has a lot more for her. And we're going to find that out in chapter 3 and 4. But what a lesson for us. Are we wasting our lives? Are we willing to use, to do what we can with our lives so they'll grow closer to the Lord? Are we in God's word? Are we gleaning in God's fields? Are we humble? All these things the greater Boaz will see, and your life will be changed. That's another thing I missed, is when Naomi saw that Ruth had been with Boaz, she saw a change. She saw that here is a miracle. Or not a miracle, but somebody had grace on her. Ruth couldn't do this alone. There's some outside power coming in here. And our lives can be like that. If we let the Lord control us, then people around will begin to see there's a greater power in there than himself or herself. What a challenge to have a greater Boaz who loves us far more than Boaz loved Ruth. May we go with that this week and use the time to God's glory and honor and grow in him. Heavenly Father, we again just thank you that the Lord Jesus loves us and that he's our kinsman redeemer. He bought us back with his own blood, a far greater price than Boaz. He had not near the price the Lord Jesus did, but yet he said he'd come, and he did it. And we thank you for that. And I want to pray tonight, if there's a boy or girl or older person here that has never come to this greater Boaz, the Lord Jesus Christ, that tonight they might accept his invitation to come, to call on him, and to leave behind their self, their old land, and to come to a new land and trust under the wings of a living God. So we ask these things, and may you be with each one of us as we go from here. In Jesus' name, amen.